Well, Derek, here we are again in a oddly feeling cheat mail only, maybe talk a little bit about Minnesota disaster recovery edition of Cheaters Never Win, I guess.
We're not even under the same roof, Mike. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. So for those of you who may not have heard the episode earlier in the week, the last 20 minutes or so of the episode actually just got completely foobarred. We right after we had finished recording, we had a power outage here at the Worldwide Headquarters due to Hurricane Michael. Thankfully, it was a short power outage, but we did lose those last 20 minutes. So you guys sent in so many great cheat mail questions this past week. We wanted to make sure we got those cheat mail questions. But Derek, since it's been like a couple of days, and we're probably going to do another podcast this week anyway, but that'll be two or three games from now, and hell, we probably wouldn't talk about Minnesota anyway, because, I mean, it was pretty much just a ho-hum game last night, right?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, standard game where you're out-shooting the opponent, I think, what, 37-1 at one point? Maybe not that badly, but yeah, you know, that typical game where you get 50 shots on goal, but you need overtime to win, and you need a game-tying goal in the last 90 or so seconds from the captain. You know, that kind of just ho-hum night.
A ridiculous, crazy angle. I think it was even a bounce in goal for Justin Williams with the extra attacker. Last night's game really felt, you know, it had a lot of those old Kane feelings to it, right? You're out shooting the opponent by over 30 shots. Your goaltender's got a mid 800 save percentage, and you know, you're about to blow it after just a couple of stupid penalties. But sure enough, this team, much to what Justin Williams and Rod Brind'Amour have been preaching, is resilient and believes they're in it until the last horn sounds. Justin Williams potted one behind Dubnyk last night. And I mean, let's give credit where credit was due. Devan Dubnyk had a phenomenal game last night.
He absolutely did. He made all of the saves in America. What I thought was really strange was seeing the three stars from last night, because Dubnyk, yeah, there's a big case to be made. He could be the first star, and I'm fine with that. I have no problem with it. I forget who it was for Minnesota. It may have been Zucker, who had a goal and an assist last night, was the second star. I get that there's always a home team bias, and we see it here in Carolina when I'm like, no, this guy should not have been one of the three stars. Somebody on the other team played better. Why is this not happening? How in the world was Sebastian Aho with two goals and two assists, including the game winner where he made a defensive takeaway in the defensive zone in overtime, which led to his own game-winning goal? How in the world was Sebastian Aho the third star last night?
Minnesota bias. I mean, was Eric Staal a star last night?
He was not.
Okay. All right. That's all that matters.
so nothing right now in your office is being shattered as we speak.
No. It's all good. No, Aho, I mean, gosh, I mean, he is currently in the top five in points in the National Hockey League right now with 10 points, I believe, right up there with the likes of Tavares and Matthews on a Toronto team that is just absolutely tearing it up. But Aho settling into that center role and looking so good. The young guy's got to figure out. Nachos has got to figure out how to stick handle a little bit, and Svechnikov has got to figure out how to stop taking offensive zone penalties.
You're right
again, but those things are going to kind of play themselves out. I think they're going to be much better. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the ice tonight after again what was a long, hard fought game, shaking off a little bit of rust when we take on Winnipeg tonight. So again. Continuing the best start in Carolina Hurricanes history? Question mark. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and I hate that I'm going to jinx this team, Mike, but we haven't suffered a regulation loss since April.
Rod Brind'Amour is undefeated in his coaching career. Rod, there's not been a game
in yet. Regulation.
Yes, there's not been a game yet where Rod Brind'Amour has not acquired a regular season or postseason point in his coaching career as a head coach. I mean, so, hey, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, gotta love it. So, Mike, real quick, when you're talking about the NHL scoring leaders, do you know who's second in the NHL in points right now?
Isn't it something crazy like Morgan Rielly or something?
That is correct.
Okay, yeah.
Morgan freaking Riley.
Well, that's wow. That's what happens when you're getting all of the secondary assist on Austin Matthews' goals.
I mean, that is those absolutely correct.
Matthews and Tavares are literally just tearing up the league right now, battling the Canes for first place overall in the National Hockey League, and that's going to be something to look forward to once these two young teams get together. So, exciting stuff. But Derek, the reason we wanted to get back together again was because of the cheat mail. So let's open up that inbox and go to the cheat mail. Got to go get some cheat mail. Wow, on Skype, the music's awful. No, Derek, hit me. What do you got?
I was doing my best to snap out of rhythm.
You were horrible, excellently, sir.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Am I getting the first question? We can't look and point at each other.
I know. I've got one for you. This one from at Mac Winnin over on the Twitter machine. If you could go all in on one and only one of Columbus's pending UFAs, Bobrovsky or Panarin, and why?
Oh, man. I mean, how old is Bobrovsky? Do you know? Is he 30 yet?
Yes, I believe so. I believe Sergei Bobrovsky is... in his 30s.
Give me Panarin.
Yeah, I would.
Give me Panarin because, look, we have seen the mileage that is on Bobrovsky, and we have seen in Carolina what mileage can do to a goalie. Panarin is younger. I mean, I think he's 25, 26 or so. Both guys are going to want 8-year max deals, right? So give me the forward who probably has more prime years ahead of him than the goalie who doesn't. I mean, I think Bobrovsky is one of five goalies in the league that you can say is a guy who can go out there and steal it for you on any given night. However, give me Panarin. I would love to see what a guy like that could do in this offense, like a line of a power play mic with Aho and Panarin and Turbo and Dougie and a warm body.
Justin Faulk, because Justin Faulk's always on the first team power play by the looks of it. That's a conversation for next week's podcast. Bobrovsky has just turned 30 years of age, and can I reserve the right to come back to this question in about 10 weeks once we figure out how Scott Darling looks coming off of his injury and when he gets back on the ice?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't take 10 weeks for us to figure that out.
I'm maybe it's another week or so for Scott to get back to it. And as you and I were talking, I would fully expect that they're going to send Darling down to Charlotte for at least a couple of games to knock off some rust, get some game speed back. So maybe a week in Charlotte and then, kind of pull him back in slowly. So, I'd like to see where we're at with goalies in mid-December before I answer that. I mean, my answer is probably C, somewhere in there. I don't know. I need a center. And Panarin's not a center, right?
Nope, he is not. But Aho is.
I know. And we love him for it. All right, Derek, what do you got for
me? Look, let's see what Sweet Potato does when he comes back.
Yeah, sweet taters.
So, Mike, this one comes to us from Pat Clark at Pat Clark 27.
Ooh, I like Pat Clark.
I think this is a bread and butter question for you.
Okay.
Will the 203 forecheck be sustainable into the second quarter of the season?
Oh, gosh, Pat. Throwing softballs our way. Pat, I appreciate the question. Long time caller, first time listener, I'm sure. Pat, I do not think that's going to stay. I actually think this team can maybe crank it up a little bit and kind of go a 2-1-2. Get one of those guys back, forechecking kind of on the sidewall there. I don't know. Pat's the X's and O's guy. I love the fact that we're getting two guys deep on the forecheck, though. What I don't want to see is somebody pull the reins back on this team and not let us just do that, because that's where their most effective when we're controlling the pace of play and we're not chasing. This team has speed and this team has skill, but I think we've got to be hard on the puck and really have two guys deep. So, yeah, no. Yes, it absolutely will continue into the second half of the season, even when teams begin to figure out the Carolina Hurricane system, because we have the talent to continue to be able to do that, particularly with one of the NHL's most effective defensive cores. Boom. Derek, I'm going to throw you I'm going to throw you a softball from our buddy Al B. Hood. Al, we want to, before I read your question, thank you for your cheap mail as always, but want to send kind of good get well wishes to Al. Al is battling a little bit of the not feel goods in the absolute worst way. So if you got good thoughts, send him. If you want to check in on him, he is at Al B. Hood over on the Twitters. Al, get well soon, sir. Now that the Whalers jerseys are out and that we've seen the third jerseys on the ice, F. Mary Kill. Home red,
okay.
New alternates, new whale.
I like that. See, I like all three. I don't love any of the three enough, but okay, so here we go, Mike. I'm going to F those whale jerseys because I really like them. I think they're really slick. I like what Adidas has done to the shoulders. I think the texture on those shoulders gives that whale jersey a nice modern touch without, you know, making it too modern just for the sake of being too modern. I'm going to marry the home reds. I think they could use a little bit of updating, but I think they look really sharp at home. And it's kind of a finer line between the home reds and the alternate thirds. I still just don't love the alternate thirds, that the blank space on the top right side. I still don't love it. I think they look much better on the ice and in person than they did in pictures. And they look great as a team uniform, or they look good as a team uniform, but I still don't love them as much. So even though I like them, even though they wanted them, even though Svechnikov scored his first goal in one of them, I got to kill the new thirds. So I'm killing the new thirds. I'm marrying the home reds, and I'm effing that whale.
Derek, that was a well thought out, intelligent F. Mary Kill.
Thank you so much, Mike. Let's move on.
It was wrong. The correct answer would be, you still F those whale jerseys because, just a couple of times a year, it's so hot. I'm going to marry the new alternates, and let me tell you why. Because rumor has it there are trade winds blowing within the Hurricanes organization where there might be some folks who don't absolutely love our sightless eye, what folks around the league have sometimes called the toilet bowl logo.
You mean like the owner showing up on local radio with blacking out the logo on his windbreaker?
Let's just say this. I would not be surprised if the primary logo were to be something different in the coming years, and I don't want to marry something that I know is just going to be killed off here shortly. I'm going to have to kill the home reds because I don't think they're here for the long term anyway.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. This one comes to us from Matt Peterson at Matt Peterson PE. If Nature struggles into November, will the general manager by committee be aggressive in trying to acquire a veteran center to bridge the gap, maybe an affordable one or one on an expiring contract, or hope for the best from Sweet Potato when he returns from injury, or other internal options?
I mean, here's the good news, right? We've got options for the first time in a long time. And this team may be a team that looks to add talent, as opposed to adding draft picks this year. If we can continue up this torrid pace of play that we've set here, in the first couple of weeks of the season, my thought is if Natchez continues to struggle, you've got an option in Nicolas Waugh down in Charlotte, who has been playing very good. Charlotte also undefeated on this young season. But There's going to be some centers that are going to move at the trade deadline this year. I would not be surprised to see a guy in Ottawa whose initials are Matt Duchesne potentially move before the end of the season.
Hey, Mike, I'm no scientist, but I think those were actually names, not initials.
Close enough. But here's the thing, too. We have enough young pieces with the likes of a Julian Gauthier, a Nicolas Waugh, a Jake Bean, and extra draft picks, potentially, to pull together a package for somebody like Matt Duchesne with the depth that this team is showing. So that's going to be very interesting. And, you know, throw Victor Rask into there. And you know, if Rask comes back healthy, he looked really good in the preseason, was in phenomenal shape, seemed to be very motivated and very focused. Rod Brendamore was happy with what he was doing on and off the ice. So, you know, again, we have options. I think option A is going to be they're going to stay with Marty Nachos this entire season because they need him to grow into the player we need him to be. So that's my take there. Derek, let's go over to because I was gonna go Matt Peterson PE as well. Let's go to Carl Smith. NSCAL Carl. I'm not sure what that is. He's Carl Smith. with both active goalies doing well before last night, what do you think will or should happen when Scott Darling's return?
I think you kind of touched on it earlier with Scott getting a conditioning stint down in Charlotte. However, we still need to see what he does back at the NHL level before a decision is made, I hope. Like, I think right now we do have the luxury of being able to keep three guys. I was looking just earlier today, and this may have changed in the last 2 hours, but I saw that McElhinney is the projected starter tonight, which I don't understand. I hope Mrazek plays tonight because he should. McElhinney was not sharp last night, but I think it's kind of just see where we go. And honestly, I mean, if McElhinney can turn in some good performances between now and when Darling is back up to top speed and Mrazek isn't setting the world on fire, it wouldn't shock me if we stuck with Darling and McElhinney as opposed to Darling and Mrazek. I also wouldn't be shocked if at some point, you know, in the next 4 weeks, another team suffers a goalie injury and they need to trade somebody. And then we are suddenly dealing from a position of maybe not the highest talent strength, but just quantity strength, and can trade somebody. You know, maybe there's a trade that happens where we trade one of our goalies and another piece, like a Gauthier, like you mentioned, for a piece that is more helpful. Who knows? But it's going to be really, really interesting to me to see what happens when you have three guys who all have question marks, all have upside, you hope, and what do you do?
Yeah, I mean,
it's where I'm really happy that we have Eric Tulsky, a.k.a. the smartest man in any room he enters, on our side.
Yeah, yeah. He is that dude. You're right. Derek, any more for me?
I absolutely do. Here's one from, where'd it go? Andrew Williams at J.A. Will 11. Has Sarah Sivian been great for coverage, or has she been phenomenal?
AJ Styles would say she has been phenomenal, but then she still wouldn't want none. Sarah Sivian has been an absolute breath of fresh air on press row. She is approaching this team with a level of fun that I don't think we've seen out of a writer. But she's also being given, I think, quite a bit of a leash to cover this team how she sees fit, as opposed to the boring instead kind of, you know, game recaps and then a once a week article on, you know, who knows what and how can we fix the goaltending. So Sarah has been great. Her Twitter has been phenomenal. It's just another reason why that athletic subscription is worth its weight in gold. I mean, I've really, really enjoyed her and look forward to getting her back on the podcast here in the next couple of weeks, now that she's had a few weeks to kind of digest what's going on with this team and get her kind of fresh view on it.
Yeah, and hopefully we will have her not in a room, which is a great live room, but an acoustic nightmare for recording.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Derek, last one from this mic, from our buddy Canalytics. Who should Mr. Nacho's wingers be? Mr. Nacho's, a.k.a. Martin Nachos.
Are ground beef and sour cream options?
Do we have a...
Or do we want actual hockey players?
I'm like, do we have chicken on the team? Yeah, let's go with actual hockey players.
Fine. Okay, so... Okay, the other part of the question I want to ask you, Mike, and I know this question did not come from you, but am I answering this? Who should his wingers be tonight's game, or who should they be game 70?
Let's take both answers.
Okay. I think for tonight's game, I mean, he's going to get somebody who can help get him going, but you don't want to mess up the lines that are working right now. I think Zikov should be on his line, and I think Svechnikov should be on his line. I think that's how it should be. I like Zikov as a big boy who will go ahead and park his keister in front of the net while Nate just creates space. And I like Svechnikov as a guy who can do things when he's not committing offensive zone penalties like you brought up earlier. I think by the end of the year, I don't know that I would hate that line, because hopefully all three of those guys – we'll make progress together. So screw it, Mike. Even though I asked you for two different prompts on the question, I'm going with the same answer either way. Give me Party Nachos, even though he doesn't supposedly like that nickname, along with Zikov and Svechnikov.
All right. I like that, except the fact there is a grand total of a combined, 25, 26 games of National Hockey League experience on that entire line. And I fear that that could be potentially taken advantage of. My answer would be leave everything exactly the way it is, because those other three lines are going well. And for at least the first half of the game last night, the Nachos line might have been the most dominant line out there. So I think they're beginning to learn it. I say that, but then at some point I think we have to see Svech and Nachos together. But I would maybe then swap Michael Ferland onto that line
and
To give them a little bit of veteran leadership and somebody who can help direct things a little bit. And then maybe give Zikov a run up there with Turbo and Aho. Again, big body, okay. Going to go to the front of the net, going to get things dirty. Turbo and Aho both have a penchant, I believe that's how you say that, for throwing pucks at the net, and Zikov can do what Andrew Ladd did so successfully for his time here in Carolina, which would be clean up the garbage and shovel in a few bucks. So there we go.
I don't hate it.
And Derek, you know, if you missed the last podcast, there was one other thing that was missing. It's a shame that we had to drink beer Thursday, and now we're having to drink beer again here on Sunday.
Damn it, Mike.
But the folks, the people need this week's Section 328 Beer of the Week beer review over at Bottle Mix. Derek, what's in your glass? Yeah.
So thanks, weather, for making me drink more beer. Boy, do I hate that. But I feel like this afternoon, this week's, whatever's beer, is really, really good this afternoon, because it's cool. It's cloudy outside. It's kind of like spitting a little bit of rain every now and then. And this weather is just peak fall. And when you think peak fall and you think beer, you think pumpkin beer. And though I don't drink as much pumpkin beer as I used to, when I do, I want one of my favorites, and I want Dogfish Head's Pumpkin Ale. And that's not pumpkin ale, it's pumpkin ale, like the pumpkin chuckin' things. Anyway, it's really good stuff. Mike, by the way, real quick, if I'm going to Bottle Mix to get this, where do I go? Like, I forget where Bottle Mix is located. It's off Creedmoor somewhere, right?
It is. It's off Creedmoor, about 3 miles north of Crabtree Valley Mall, about a mile south of 540. You're going to see it there in Brennan Station Shopping Center. You know it, the shopping center that's got a Wendy's and a Dunkin' Donuts out front. It's also where there's a fitness place in there. There's Moe's. There's all sorts of restaurants in there. But go in there. see our folks and our friends over at Bottle Mix, and just look for the Section 328 logo for the
Brand of the Week. Yeah. So when you're in there, you'll see the 328 logo in front of the Dogfish Head Pumpkin Ale. And Dogfish has been making this pumpkin beer since 1995. So
they know what they're doing with pumpkin beer. Were there pumpkins in 1995? I feel like this has been a new thing.
No, I think pumpkins have been around since 95 anyway.
Okay, good.
I hope so. Otherwise, they were genetically engineering things to taste like a gourd that had not yet been created. Anywho, this beer, it fails the Mike Flanagan light test. I hate to bring that to you, but it is a nice, rich, kind of medium amber color. Kind of looks like fall in the glass. It's clear, but it's that really nice color. And the aromas, they're not beating you about the face, but it has kind of that aroma of mild pumpkin pie. So a little bit of the pumpkin aroma itself, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg, a little bit of allspice. They're all really balanced. It's not like you're sniffing somebody's spice rack. That's not a euphemism at all. But it's wow. not how it's not, yeah, it's not how the beer smells. It's not going to there are some pumpkin beers that go way over the top with either the sweetness or the spices on it. This is not one of those. It is very, very well balanced. Again, they've been doing this for 24 years, and all those flavors come through so well. It's a medium body. I think it's 7% alcohol or so. Right at 7% alcohol. And just a good malty backbone on the beer. You get some nice cinnamon flavor, a little bit of allspice, and that cinnamon lingers in a nice way, so it finishes kind of dry because there is a little bit of sweetness to the beer, but the finish on it's real smooth. Pumpkin beers, some people absolutely love them and seek all of them out. Some people want a couple a year. No matter which way you are, you should drink a couple of this Dogfish each year. The weather's going to be great for it all week. It's state fair weather. It's pumpkin beer weather. So head to Bottle Mix, tell Bruce, tell Ron, tell any of the folks there that you want to grab a Dogfish Pumpkin Ale and tell them 328 sent you, and they'll hook you up.
Yeah.
They're about $2 a bottle, and it's well worth it.
Yeah, great, great beer. I'm loving that we're getting to the time of year where we're drinking Mike beer, which is going to be, thick, oily, bourbon barreled quad imperial. Is there such a thing as a quad imperial stout? If so, I'd like to enjoy that, please.
I'm sure someone makes I don't know that you need to imperialize a quad.
I don't know. Yes, absolutely. A Russian quad. A Russian quad. We'll just call it Svechleg. I don't know. Anyway, no, go to Bottle Mix. Check it out. And if you're listening to this podcast, you've already know where to check us out. Section_328 over on the Twitters.
Respect the underscore.
We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Patreon. Still throwing out a bunch of really great rewards over on Patreon. So if you feel so inclined that you would like to support the Section 328 team here, go over to patreon.com/section328, and you can absolutely get some free t-shirts or reward t-shirts out of the whole gig, and hopefully some new merch coming your way here in the next couple of days. If you go check out the Amazon store, you may find some unreleased shirts. Okay.
It's a secret, Mike.
Okay, we won't tell anybody. But guys and gals, we appreciate everybody listening. Thank you so much. Again, thanks for taking time to listen to this shortened edition of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. We'll be back with you next week when we can talk about the Winnipeg game as well as the Tampa game, and prepare for Nathan McKinnon and the State Fair Colorado game on Saturday. So we'll see what's coming. So until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're out of here again. Thanks, y'all. Bye.